Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast.
Every day in the Free State, 120,000 people who might otherwise be hungry get a meal through the Maryland Food Bank. The nonprofit has been distributing food for 45 years. It was the first food bank on the East Coast, and a lot has changed. These days, it's serving more working families, children, and older adults. It's paying more attention to nutrition, distributing millions of pounds of fresh produce. And beyond distributing food, the Maryland Food Bank works to fix what puts people at risk for hunger, the root causes. Many of these changes have come under the leadership of Carmen Del Guecho, who has been president and CEO of the Maryland Food Bank for 8 years. He's stepping down at the end of the month, so we snagged him for a conversation about what's improved and challenges ahead. Welcome back to the show, Carmen.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
I remember being surprised 8 years ago that a banker was going to head the Maryland Food Bank. For 30 years, you had held a variety of leadership positions at M&T Bank. What drew you to the Maryland Food Bank?
Primarily, I spent most of my time at M&T Bank. They were very willing to allow our team members to be active in the community. So I've spent a lot of time on various boards and really felt like, Sheila, before my career was over, I felt like there was something I could give back to organizations to help them reach their full potential. And so that always was a little nugget in the back of my mind. And then I started to get involved in Maryland Food Bank at some level with regard as a board member, and I started to see the mission in a deeper way and the impact it was having, and at the time was having some significant financial issues. And so I felt like this was a perfect opportunity for me to enter into the space that can bring my expertise in finance, my expertise in for-profit, and hopefully help the organization get to a better place and do it while helping a few people along the way. So it was kind of a unique situation. The timing was right. I was dealing with some things in my personal life. I just lost my dad and, you know, just thinking about things I wanted. What was my purpose for my final years of working? And so that was the primary draw. So glad I landed here for sure.
How have you seen hunger and community needs change in 8 years?
Yeah, it starts with it's grown. We saw a significant increase during COVID, which is not surprising. But even coming out of COVID, we have seen that level of need continue to stay at that heightened levels. We latest statistics coming from Feeding America, which is an organization, the umbrella organization that helps manage food banks across the country. We're seeing a 25% increase. We noticed that
25% increase
in
over
need. Yeah, and since pre-COVID to now. And
okay.
So that level has continued to stay. And so here in Maryland, it's about 1 in 3 Marylanders who we find struggling to make ends meet.
Well, I understand that you had a staggering surge in demand for help. I think I read 66 million meals between March of 20 and June of 21.
Exactly.
And you're saying it's basically stayed almost that high.
Yes, we haven't. We deliver now about 50 million meals a year. So we've consistently stayed at that level of distribution, despite the fact that the numbers have been that high. Yes. And so what's happened is coming out of COVID, there were some programs that were available to folks, families in COVID that went away. And some of those supports are no longer in place. Then you layer in inflation and some of the challenges that people are having in terms of food costs. And so that's contributed to the fact that the need has stayed at an elevated level, and there's really been no relief.
So tick off for us some of the things that you have done to meet that increased demand.
Well, we started first with not only focused on the quantity of food we distribute, but also the quality. So it's not been all about the number of meals, but it's also making sure that we're providing the highest quality food we possibly can. In an effort to make sure that our neighbors have access to the same type of food you and I would access to at grocery stores. So much more focus on produce, much more focus on proteins as a way, again, to make sure that our neighbors are served in that way. And then where we distribute them, using data much more prominently to understand where the needs are greatest across our state, looking at various factors like unemployment claims, home ownership, access to grocery stores, and really being able to hone in on certain communities across the state, what we call hunger hotspots, and go deeper there with regard to what we serve. So we've continued to maintain the level of food we distributed, but the quality of food and the way we distribute it has increased significantly since COVID.
What kind of infrastructure investments have gone into meeting stepped up demand?
Yeah, so a couple things. We've expanded our presence, our footprint. We operate out of facilities. We have two facilities here in the Baltimore area. We have now two facilities on the Eastern Shore and one in Western Maryland in Hagerstown. The Hagerstown facility we upgraded.
When you say facility, these are essentially
warehouses. Yes, these are warehouses where we're accessing and storing food and distributing food from. And so the infrastructure from that perspective allows us to store more foods in those communities, source more food from local sources in those communities, and make sure that it stays there. We've added resources within the organization to, for instance, on a strategy group that has allowed us to look at various data points to try to anticipate where the puck is going in terms of our response. What are we seeing on the horizon? What are other food banks doing? What other nonprofits are doing to serve their neighbors and things, or the things that we can learn from and integrate into our business? So much more sophisticated from that perspective. And then the biggest thing we probably did, Sheila, which I'm really proud of, is we brought a much more market-based approach to our serving the communities. What I mean by that is when I first got there, we ran a number of programs, and I would have people come to me and say, I want to grow my program. I want to grow my program. These are ways in which we were serving these communities. But I didn't really have any clear visibility, or they weren't able to give me visibility as to where. Like, and how do we know the programs are effective? And how do we know that the food we're distributing, the way we're distributing in those communities is what they want? And so we created a much more market-based approach, kind of, again, pulling in from my M&T for-profit days, right? And we turned the organization a little bit sideways and said, we want to have people who are not, we're agnostic to the solution we provide in the community. We want us to make sure it's the right solution for that community. And we need people on the ground in those communities to make sure they understand where the needs are greatest, what the right program solution could be that we can provide, who are partners, because we distribute through 800 organizations across the state who are in these communities every day, who the right partners should be. So I think that's one of the biggest shifts that we made organizationally, is to understand communities across our state in a much deeper way.
This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Carmen Del Guecho, who's stepping down after 8 years as president and CEO of the Maryland Food Bank. We're talking about how hunger has changed in the Free State and how Del Guecho has addressed it. You have talked about growing up the son of Italian immigrants and not realizing until you look back as an adult how close your family had often been to food insecurity.
Yeah.
Do you see that kind of fragility in the landscape now, or is it different?
No, I think it's very much the case. You know, my parents were Italian immigrants. Classic story, came over with, you know, two nickels to rub together in their pockets. And we were never food insecure, but I could see now how close we may have been. We had never had to deal with, you know, caring for a sick relative. We'd never had to deal with a plant closure or a layoff. Those type of issues that really kind of pull the rug out from on these families who then have limited resources to be able to respond to that need. And so I think that's still true today. I still think there's people and neighbors out there who are dealing with some hardship and unable to kind of get over the hump, if you will, with regard to their ability to provide for themselves without relying on food banks and other supports. And so I don't think that's changed dramatically. In fact, it's probably gotten bigger because again, just inflation and cost of living challenges that more and more people are having, struggling to make ends meet.
There have been cuts in federal funding for food assistance and food banks, and Congress is looking at deep cuts in SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance. What impact do you see there?
Yeah, we certainly have seen a reduction in our revenue stream as a result of some programs that have been cut. We also anticipate that SNAP, that's still in the process of being discussed and debated, but, you know, all the tea leaves indicate that there will be some significant cut to SNAP. SNAP serves 9 meals for every meal that the food bank provides, that 119,000 you referenced earlier per day. They basically provide 9 meals. So we know that on the horizon that we're going to have continued, so there's going to be even more need that we might be facing. I would say that in my 8 years, obviously, we've dealt with different administrations at the state level and the federal level. And so what we come become really good at is being able to adapt and figure out how do we respond to that in a way that ensures that, you know, there's a continuity of service. We want to make sure that we're not there one day in a community and gone the next and become an organization that kind of, you know, yo-yos in terms of its level of support. And so, you know, the onus on us now is to respond to these cuts and challenges and figure out ways in which we can maintain a certain level of service. We have been an organization that's been pretty well fiscally managed, and we are in a process of, you know, going through a budget process that's likely going to result in us having a dip in the reserves to respond to the needs we have in the coming year. But we think that's critically important to ensure that we maintain a level of service, like I said, to the neighbors we serve.
Briefly, how can people help?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. It's we buy about $24 million worth of food today. We bought about $6 million when I first got to the organization. And part of that's increased need, and part of it's our focus on higher quality access to higher quality food. So financial support goes a long way for us. Our buying power is much greater than you have it at a retailer. And so we encourage folks, is the highest need we have is our ability to continue to buy the kind of foods that we think our neighbors want. So financial support. Today, I would also say advocacy is critical. Everybody operates in their whatever their various circles are. And so anything they can do and advocate on behalf of the needs of our communities, whether that's in support of, you know, in support of SNAP, as you mentioned earlier, that's under some pressure, or other programs that help our neighbors, that ultimately helps us. And then lastly, I would say volunteering. We rely heavily on volunteers to do our mission, and it's a great way for folks to engage in this work and really add value to our objectives.
Well, you have said that Maryland Food Bank's mission is to end hunger, but it's still here. Mm-hmm. People are still hungry or food insecure. What does that say about what you've accomplished? What does it say about the road ahead?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lofty goal, right, in terms of ending hunger. And so that's why we went into the space of trying to address some of the root causes. Because what we found is providing access to food, while critically important, doesn't really solve the long-term problem. And so we know that there's factors that contribute to need that were out of our control. So our culinary training program, for instance, we've expanded that in Halethorpe. We've expanded it into sales into Salisbury, trying to provide skills that people hopefully can use to provide for their families so that as challenges occur that, again, are out of our control with regard to inflation or economic policy, that they're in a better position to respond to that. We're trying to partner with other organizations who provide other services. We're providing more wraparound supports. We're encouraging our partner network to think more broadly about how they support their local communities beyond just food, all with the objective of putting families in a better place to respond to some of these challenges that then allows us ultimately to make a dent in the level of hunger in our state.
And you've played a critical role. Thanks for talking to us about it. Somehow I have a feeling you're not going to stay retired.
I'm not sure I will either, but we're going to take a little break for sure.
Carmen Del Guecho is stepping down after 8 years as president and CEO of the Maryland Food Bank. The nonprofit is doing a national search to replace him.
I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you're with us on The Record. Join us again Friday.